All right, Colossians chapter 3. Let's get there together. Colossians chapter 3. And wonderful passage of Scripture we get a chance to study together. Let me encourage you, when we get around the holidays, sometimes our daily Bible reading, our quiet time with the Lord, starts getting a little patchy. Why is that? Somebody help me out. Why does that happen? Yes. We get busy. All right. Yes. Uh huh.
We get time off, and so we're like, I just want to relax now.
Yeah. So okay. Yeah. Uh huh. Schedule change. That's a big one. I mean, that really. Look, you put Brother Scott out of his typical schedule. Stuff starts hitting the ground. All right. So I love the structure of a schedule, and my wife and I. Even on days off, we say, "All right, what's the schedule? You know, we gotta have the structure there, so we can." Now, there's days I like to just wing it, but structure's a good thing because stuff doesn't hit the ground. But that can happen. That can happen. Our Bible reading, you start focusing in on, well, I'm gonna take that extra study time, and instead of maybe reading that chapter, I'm gonna just study, finish the year strong in school. You should finish the year strong in school. It should be done. But don't neglect your Bible reading. And again, the we're off Thanksgiving break, so the podcast is back up and running. I encourage you to listen to that. A little bit more explanation of the passage. We dig a little deeper there, just because there's we only have one page to put the devotional on in your devotionals, and so we try to keep it brief there, but I encourage you to keep up with that, and don't let the only motivation be, well, I gotta get them points on Wednesday. Okay, let's do it for the honor and glory of God. Colossians chapter 3, like I said, great passage of Scripture here. It all starts off with verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That's wonderful advice, Paul. Tell us a little bit more here. Verse 2, set your affections on things above, not on things in the earth. You are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Again, what a statement. When Christ, who is our life. Christianity is not, it's not a religion, okay? It's a relationship and it's a lifestyle. It's not something, a hat that I put on Sunday or Wednesday when I come to teen time. It's all about Christ, and boy, he is my life. You hear people talk about, oh man, my life is fill in the blank, right? My life is football, my life is this video game, whatever. Boy, our life is Christ if you're a Christian. Let's keep reading though. We get into this idea of putting to death our flesh, right? Mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth. And then he goes on and he lists these things. We explained these last week and the week before in great detail, talking about fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Remember, that final sin there really speaks to that of everything else mentioned beforehand and how those things that we would put before God are always idols. Verse 6, for which sake, things sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. There is consequences associated with pursuing those things in verse 5. Verse 7, in the which ye also walk sometime when ye lived in them. What is Paul saying here? We talked about this last week. These are sins that are associated with people who don't follow God, who don't have Christ in their heart, is not focused on the Lord. That's their type of behavior. And what is he saying? He's saying these things ought not be said of someone who Christ is their life and who has Christ in their heart and wants to live for Jesus. Notice the next verse here, verse 8, but now ye also put off these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And so Paul here makes the argument that look, you're going to live for Jesus, exalted living, extraordinary Christian living. There's got to be some things that you're going to divorce yourself from. You are going to make a conscious effort to put off from yourself. And so so many of these things here have to do with the way that we treat people, right? I mean, when we talk to others, are we putting off the anger and the malice and the filthy communication that would come out of our mouth? No, the Lord says, treat people right. Lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds. So if we've then put off those things and we say, hey, we put those things to death. Hey, my flesh is not going to have power over me. I'm not going to let those sins creep into my life and affect the way that I treat people because I'm putting them off. Okay, so if I'm putting something off, we have to put something on. And Paul gets into that in verse 10. Look at what it says. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. This is all about Jesus. Jesus has made the difference. And through the knowledge of Christ and after his image, we have been and can be renewed. Verse 11 here, and this is where we dropped off last week, and I gave you a little bit of an assignment, and we're going to talk about this here in just a second. Notice verse 11 before we talk about it. Notice verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. Christ is all and in all. And we will pick up our study right there. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray the minutes that we have remaining, Father, they would be profitable. Lord, speak to our hearts. Sunday school, Lord, so often we're still waking up and Lord, becoming coherent. And Father, I pray that this just would not be a time where, Lord, we just put our brains in neutral. Father, help us, keep us from that. I pray, Lord, that each one of us would look to our lives and Lord, the conversations that we had at the house before we got here, Lord, the behavior we experienced yesterday when we encountered, Lord, difficulty or pressure, Lord, may we be willing to lay ourselves on the operating table and trust you as the great physician, Lord, to expose that which is needy in us. Lord, help us to be humble people, and Father, speak to us, we pray, in your name. Amen. Okay, so Paul here is speaking, again, to the effect of how we treat each other. So somebody help me out here. How does that correlate with verse 11 and the organization here of different thoughts that he throws out there? Okay, if you need to look at verse 11, go ahead and do that. But I want to get some feedback here, all right? Giving those of you who did not take me up on my assignment time to do it now. So just go ahead and look at it. How does it relate to the verses before? And what is Paul saying here? What's he saying? The divisions that are given here. Different groups. Michaela? Okay, all right, the things mentioned above, specifically, go ahead, look at those verses, give me something. Idolatry, all right. Let's see, Stephen, did you have a similar thought, or did you have something you wanted to add? Okay. All right, good. Timmy? Okay, all right. That's good. So I think that we're on the right track here, but let's just kind of throw these thoughts together here. And this is really what Paul's giving us here is he's making it real, and he's giving application to the church at Colossae. He says, look, it matters that you treat each other well, okay? And just like we hear that and we say, Oh, yeah, that's good. That Paul, that is good. Like, what a statement, Paul. That we need that. Yep, it matters. But now Paul is going to, like, say, okay, you know some of those divisions that sometimes you have? I'm going to mention those. And what does he say? He says, Jew and Greek. Okay, now, you realize, again, this is division, right? These are the Church of Jesus Christ brought together groups that were never together at any other point in society, in this society. So Jews and Greeks, they didn't spend a lot of time together. Okay, there was a national divide there. Could we say there was racism involved? Yeah, probably. They treated each other differently. If a Greek saw a Jew, he'd look down on him. And the Jew, in return, could equally do the same thing. And let me just say this. I know that sometimes in America, we hear so much about racism, racism, racism. But you realize you go anywhere in the world and you will find racism. It's a thing. I mean, and it doesn't have to be a black or white. It can be anything. No matter where you go, you will find a group of people who stand together that look down on another group of people, regardless of what their skin color is. It is everywhere. Okay, it is not just here in America we have this weird thing that nobody else has. No, because you know why? It's human nature. Okay, that is the human nature that we have inside of us. And Paul is just, he's making direct application here, and he's saying, hey, listen, in the church, okay, we as believers, we are one body together, joined with Christ, and because of that, Jews, you shouldn't be treating the Greeks any differently than you treat your brothers. And Greeks, you ought not look down on the Jews. That's your brother in Christ. So it's getting very real. And Paul is taking all those things that he said about anger, all those things he said about lie not one to another, all the things he said about filthy communication, and he's making it real for the church. And he says, look, there is no race in the Church of Jesus Christ. Not at all. Notice the next thing that he says. What else does he say? He says circumcision or uncircumcision. We could say not only should people be treated in accordance, they shouldn't be treated in accordance with their race, but they shouldn't be treated in accordance with their upbringing. Okay, this was, again, a real thing. Now, there were people in the church that had grown up in the Jewish system of the day, and there are people there that maybe thought, hey, you know what, because I've been in, you know, we'll put it in today's terms, because I've been in church all my life, boy, I'm better than that guy over there. Well, let me tell you, I've been here ever since those doors were open. Man, I have been in my place. I have never missed a service. And you know what, when revival comes, I'm here every night out of the week. And you know, I got saved when I was, you know, 6 years old, and man, let me tell you, I've never looked back since. I am better than that guy over there. Yeah, you say, does that happen? Well, sure it does. Uh-huh. Sometimes, and again, this is your wicked heart and mine, sometimes we can look to our upbringing and we can say, well, because I was brought up this way, or because I got saved at this point in time and that person didn't, sometimes we can look down on people. Sometimes that can affect the way that we treat other people. And Paul's saying, the Lord's saying, for that matter, that ought not be so. I shouldn't enter in. So we have to be careful about that. You say, can that happen in a youth group? Sure. Sure it can happen in a youth group. Notice the next thing here. We have Greek or Jew. We have circumcision, uncircumcision. And then notice the next one here. This is interesting. What does he say? He says barbarian or Scythian. Interesting here. You take a little bit of time and you study into these people groups, and these were people who were of a remote geography. Okay, these were two people groups that were sort of isolated and far off from other people. Okay, so they're sort of isolated. They're in a place that their lifestyle is maybe different a little bit than their own, and than maybe some that were in inner city Colossae at the time. And Paul's saying here, you know, it really shouldn't matter in regards to somebody's status, okay? Or we could say maybe even education. Again, what are those things that could divide a church? Well, there's a lot of things that could divide a church. And Paul is simply pointing to just four things here that could potentially cause an issue. And so he's saying, hey, look, if these people here, you know, maybe they're from a different area, maybe they speak a little differently, maybe they have an accent or whatnot, you know, don't look down on them. You know, don't take the opportunity to, you know, to try to cheat them or to speak poorly about them without them knowing that. Boy, they love the Lord just like you do. They're a part of the church just like you are. And so that's got to affect our thinking. We shouldn't treat people differently or according to their race or their upbringing or somehow because of their education. Now, I'll just get very real with you today, and I'm very thankful. I don't think this is the case in our youth group, and I hope it never is, but when I was growing up, there was a little bit of a division between those that were public schooled, homeschooled, and Christian schooled. There was a division there. And you know who gravitated towards each other? It wasn't the public school kids with the Christian school kids or the Christian school kids with the homeschoolers. Boy, everybody just sort of gravitated towards their own groups. And you know what? Sometimes the Christian school kids said things that were not very nice about the public school kids. And sometimes the Christian school kids said poor things about those that were homeschooled or vice versa, depending on, you know, whatever you were brought up in. And you know, Paul's just reminding us, look, there's a real problem that can exist in the church sometimes when we step back and we start trying to divide ourselves. We look at people and we say, well, you know what, that person, I've got them figured out. They're this way. And, well, you know, they're educated this way. We should never be that way. Hey, we are literally a family in this room. And I hope you see that yourself as that. I mean, I oftentimes I like to say, hey, we're gonna have a little family time, we're gonna have a family get together. And that's not because Brother Scott just, you know, wants to adopt all of you and be a part of the Devane home. Okay, that's not what no, there is a real sense in which we are all part of the family of God. And for that reason, we have to treat each other well. You know, people on this side of the room shouldn't look down on people on that side of the room. Well, they sit on the left side, Brother Scott. You know about the left side, don't you? We've got to understand that these can sometimes be real issues that we need to be aware of. Notice this one. This one's unique. This was unique to the culture in which they were living in. But look at the last one here in this verse. Verse 11. What does he say? He says, bond nor free. Bond nor free. What is he talking about there? Somebody help me out. Bond or free. Yeah, Timmy. Yeah, right. Listen. Amazing, right? There was no other organization. There was no other community meeting like that of the church. Servants, okay, would not spend time with other masters in a community setting. It didn't happen. Okay, masters were given preference. Masters were given better accommodations. It's just how it was. Except when the church comes along and the Lord levels the playing field. One of my favorite statements is, at the foot of the cross, the ground is level. No one has superiority, because we're all sinners saved by grace. Boy, what a blessing. Can you imagine the distinction and the difference that society of that day placed between servants and masters? And yet, looking at a room full of people where there were both. And Paul says, listen, servants, don't despise your masters. And masters, don't be looking down on those servants. And this is something that all of us have to take note of. I mean, examine your own heart, right? Examine your own heart. And how have you done this in your own heart? And certainly, we don't live in a day where we got the servant-master thing going on, per se. But there may be an area in your life where you've looked down on someone. You've sized someone up and figured someone out. And because of that, you don't have fellowship with them, and maybe you even go so far as to turn your nose down at them. Boy, that ought not be the case. Boy, no filthy communication, no anger, no deceit, none of that. Paul does such a great job at making application to these things, reminding us that people should not be treated in accordance with their race, upbringing, education, or cultural status. And what is it? Does he end the phrase there with? He says, Christ is all in all. Christ removes all barriers. He removes all barriers. Notice verse 12 through 17. We're just going to fly down through this and then be done today. But you notice some things that he says to put on here. This is all about, we've taken off, now we got to put on. And verse 12, you notice what he says? He says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. What is that, bowels of mercy? It's the idea of being full of compassion, right? So instead of being angry towards you, because you're whatever, I'm going to be full of compassion for you. In other words, I'm going to look at your situation and I'm going to take heart and consider, and I'm going to have empathy. I'm going to have compassion. You know, there's a couple ways to look at things sometimes. Somebody does something to you, you can get angry, you can get bitter, or you can say, you know, Lord, that person doesn't know what they're doing. Lord, that person is blind to this issue in their life and they're hurting other people around them. Lord, would you help them? There's two reactions. And Paul's telling us, hey, don't choose anger, wrath, malice. Hey, choose to have compassion for your fellow man. And we all need to have compassion for others. What else does he say? He says bowels of mercy is full of compassion there. The next one he says is kindness. It's the idea of to being good to people, not cruel. I guess cruelty would be the opposite there of kindness. The next one he says is humbleness of mind. Be humble in mind. You know, if you're humble in mind, you're going to be humble in your actions. Because everything starts right up here, right? I mean, how do you think of yourself in relation to other people? You know, well, Brother Scott, I have these gifts. I don't know if you noticed, but I have these gifts. And pretty special. Bless them, they don't have them. They try, but they don't have these gifts, okay? So I just know where I'm at. I know where they're at. You know, okay, is that humbleness of mind? No, not one lick. Okay, not one bit at all. Okay, humbleness of mind. Okay, it's realizing who you are because of Christ. It really is. I mean, how could we be prideful when the Lord's given us everything that we have? So we see humbleness of mind. What do we think about ourselves? Hopefully, we are humble in that regard. Notice the next one here says meekness. It means the idea of handling others with care. Gentle is the word that comes to mind as well. I told you last week that Felicity has a problem right now with smacking her brothers in the head. She'll pick up our phones that we leave down or something and she'll just go, bam, okay? Believe it or not, that hurts, okay? And we're trying to cure her of that. And one of the things that we say to her, we say, no. And we say, gentle. And then we like pat Philip's head or Andrew's head. And what does she do? She's like, she then likes to do it, you know. But that's the idea of, hey, you're going to treat somebody well. You're going to be meek. You're going to handle others with care. He says long-suffering. It's being patient with others. You know, when you want to be frustrated with your siblings because they're pushing your buttons or they're aggravating you in some way, you're going to suffer long. You're going to be patient with that. In other words, you're not just going to snap and get angry and then lash out and all the other things, the other reaction that Paul talks about here. You're long-suffering. You're being patient with others. Next one there he gives is forbearing. Forbearing is to bear with or to hold up. Okay, this is the proactiveness of helping others. The next one he says here is forgiving one another. The next one he says is love. Notice with me, and we'll pick this up here. In verse 13, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave, so also do ye. Let me ask you right now, is there somebody you have not forgiven or you refuse to forgive? Do you realize that it's not right? I mean, there's no other way to say it, right? And it's not right because Christ has forgiven us. And then notice what he says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And our time is gone, but the bond of perfectness or the bond of completeness, right? We want to be at a place where we're complete in Christ. Have you ever been incomplete? You ever, you took a test or something and you left something blank? Your teacher wrote incomplete at the top, okay? You're not whole. You're lacking something. Okay? And Paul says that, hey, you know, you can have some of these things, but how you go about that, communicating it, will make the difference as far as whether you're a complete person or not. And love is that component. Love is a great motivation. Love is that gift that we give to others that communicates to them that we care more about them than any petty issue at all. We can have some of these things, but if we lack the love in our communicating of them, then we're not complete, as Paul says. Like I said, our time is done today, but you know, this is a message, and these are things that interact with right where we're at. I mean, right where we're at. I mean, if you could sit through a lesson like this and not be pricked by one of these things that Paul mentions here, I think we're at a hard place. Because you know as well as I do, the conversations that we have with family members, maybe friends, coworkers, you know, fellow students at school, sometimes those can be not what they should be. And a lot of times it has to do with the fact that we're not putting off something we should, and we're not putting on something that we should. And all of that happens through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We have to yield to Him. So let's do that, okay? Today, you go home, that car ride conversation, going back to the house, or maybe it's restoring something. You sit here and you're like, you know what? I haven't forgiven. I've got pride in my heart, and I need to give forgiveness today to somebody. I encourage you to do that. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for just being so real in Colossians chapter 3 here, Lord, and yet being so specific for us. I pray, Father, that the unity that we have in this youth group, Lord, would only increase going forward. I pray, Lord, we would not look down or criticize each other or speak evil about one another behind closed doors. I pray, God, that we would be people that seek peace. We'd be people that seek restoration. And, Lord, that we would put off these things that you've talked about and put on those things that you mentioned as well. Lord, speak to our hearts in the morning service, we pray in your name. Amen.